Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be focusing on the sword of the Spirit this morning. But I'm going to run and start. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13, we'll go down to 17, and we'll jump into our text that we want to talk about this morning. So Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. It says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." All these parts that we've looked at so far have been really defensive. Oh, there we go. That helps. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you to switch it over. It's defensive, right? To protect you. We talk about the shield is to protect you. The breastplate to protect you. Your helmet to protect you, right? Your feet. All these things are be protected to help you to, the Bible says, to stand. Right? So in what circumstances you're in, how are you doing? How are you standing? Are you standing on the faith? Are you standing on the Word? Are you standing on what God wants you to do? Or are you been kind of waffling? That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants to knock you off your game. He wants you to cause you to sin. He wants to cause you to doubt instead of standing firm in your faith. That's the battle. When we were kids, we used to play, we were teenagers, you know, and the testosterone gets us going, and all us boys wanted to show how tough we are. One of the things that we would do is we would line up, and the girls would look at us, think we're crazy, but, you know, we're guys, we're going to be all macho. And so we'd get up, and our goal was to knock each other off. And so I was standing like this, and someone would be on the other side like this, right? And we'd lock arms, and the whole idea was just to get that person to take a step. And so, you know, we're probably pretty foolish out on the playground, but we're just like, trying to push and trying to shove, and, you know, and you learn if you push hard and let go a little bit, you throw the person off, so you're like, you know, a bunch of young bucks trying to prove our worth. And Satan does that to us, to get us off. What he wants us to do is cause us to falter in our walk with the Lord. And then really behind that, what part of that is, Satan is an accuser. What he wants to do is say, hey, you know what? That John says he loves you. Yeah, but look at this. He says he's a Christian. Yeah? Watch what happens now. And do I live up to that? Or does Satan say, aha, see God, I told you so. He only loves you if you do this, or he only loves you if this goes right for him. Watch this circumstance, he folds like a cheap suit, you know? He just crumbles under the weight of it. That's the spiritual warfare that we are in. And all these things have been defensive in nature. Well, now we turn around and we talk about the sword. And with each one of these pieces, we've kind of looked at the historical aspect of it. That here we have the whole armor. The Roman soldier wanted the whole nine yards. So imagine, you know, he's all geared up for battle, right? He's got his helmet, he's got his breastplate, he's got his belt, he's got his shoes on, he's got his shield. He's heading out to battle, but he forgot his sword. Well, what you got to do? Just, la 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 la. You know, I'm here, but now what? Because the Christian life is more than just necessarily just standing, but also be proactive. And the Roman soldier that here he had this whole armor of God, and in here he'd be armed with his weapon. And for the Romans, it was the sword. Now there's typically two kinds of swords that are used by the Romans. One would be a long broad sword. This was just a brute force attack. Oftentimes take one or two hands, and the idea was it got us swinging, and it wasn't going to stop. And so this would come in and just blow after blow. The idea was just by brute strength, the weight of it would just knock an enemy down. But the term that's used here isn't talking about that. And actually, we're told that the Word of God is quick and living and sharper than any two-edged sword. The sword that we're talking about here is a sword probably about this long. And in here it was maneuverable. In here it was able to be strapped on. You were able to carry it because, you know, you carry a big broadsword, you know, it'd be kind of cumbersome just to walk around with it. But this was a handy size. Then here is actually because of the fact that it was two-sided. It was sharp on both sides. And the fact of that was the sword was able to hit from either direction versus on one side. That it was maneuverable. So in here in battle, if you're in close and quick combat, that you're able to take it and move it to where you need to do. Also, because it was two-sided, sharp on both sides, it was very good at piercing. That it was very effective to come in and just parse out. And that's why we talk about the scriptures being sharp and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to pierce asunder of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Of soul and spirit. They didn't hear that piercing action that takes place. And so in here, the sword was able to use defensively, that if you came at me with your weapon, I was able to hold this up, I was able to block, but also used as an attack for a defense along the way. Well, in here, we have the Word of God being of the same effect within us. We need to realize that the Word of God is the central core. Now, we don't worship the Bible, we worship God, but this is His Word for us. This is more than just a collection of nice stories that make me feel good, or teach me a moral, or teach me a lesson. It's more than that. This is the Word of God given to us. It's our instruction. It's a love letter. It's our communications. It's the Word of God. That this becomes a central point. As Christians, we should be known as people of the Word. Peter understood this. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says this, "As His grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. As His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and by virtue." Have you ever heard anyone say, "Well, the Bible is just outdated. It's just an old book. You know, it doesn't really apply to us. It doesn't understand our culture. It doesn't understand our society." Can I tell you something? The people who say that have never read it. Now, while it doesn't mention iPhones, or the internet, or automobiles, or texting, or emojis, or whatever else you want to put in there today, while the Word of God may not be contemporary, let me tell you something, it is relevant. The human heart hasn't changed. The stories and the accounts that we have listed here, the sins that's given up, there's nothing new under the sun, the Scripture says. We see the same struggles that are taking place. We see the same choices that's taking place of what's going on in generations past. That in here, the advice that God gives is not outdated. It's very relevant for today. And you know what I say? A lot of our problem is we've abandoned the manual. You've abandoned the manual. And as Christians, that today around the world, there are churches who are gathered here who aren't teaching this. And maybe I'm just lazy because I just want to preach this. You know, it'd be a lot of work to kind of come up with something to say Sunday morning out of anything, and you know, for me, I just pull the Word of God out. What's God's message for us today? God, how do I apply this to my life? How do I live this all out? And so the Word of God is relevant for today. And in here, Peter says this, and I love this, that in the middle right of this verse, it says, "Has given to us all things that pertain to life." All things that pertain to life, the Word of God applies to. Think about that. What kind of spouse should I be? The Word of God tells me. What kind of parent do I need to be? The Word of God tells me that. The Bible gives even more than that. You want financial advice. Guess what? The Bible is full of financial advice. moral advice. Time and time again, the Word of God will tell you and direct you of how to live your life. According to the manual, to the Maker, who does all things well. So all things pertaining to this life and also to godliness. What is God like? Can I tell you something? God is more than we can comprehend. But God does not want us to stay hidden from you. God wants to reveal Himself to you in a very real way. And how we do that is through the Scriptures. We see what He likes and what He doesn't like. We find what brings Him joy and what breaks His heart. We see the love that He has for us. All these things are contained in the Scriptures as we will seek Him out. So the Word of God is relevant for today to all things pertaining to life and to godliness. You know, I thought about all the things I could talk about. The Scripture talks so much about the Word of God. And how I hide it in my heart that I may not sin against Thee. Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, is all about the psalmist's love for the Word. And I don't know how to stir up within someone a love for the Word. I shared with you guys, you know, a while ago, someone kind of accused me of not preaching the Word. And that is probably the toughest thing to... It hurts because I love the Word. I want it to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That in these things, the Scripture, time and time again, becomes those love letters that I can't wait to dig into. Can I tell you something? Being a pastor, one of the best things is I'm paid to study the Bible. Woohoo! That's a good deal. Right? I get to talk about the Bible. Oh! Life is good. And worst case, you know, someone asks me a question I don't know. Guess what? It drives me into the Bible more. That's a win-win. And I don't know how to stir within you a love for the Word. That in here, I believe that, you know, we come up, we talk about all things pertaining to life. We have an election coming up. And as a Christian, I believe that I'm a steward. The Bible tells me I'm a steward. All that I have belongs to God. My vote belongs to God. So God, how do you want me to vote? What are the issues? How does it line up with your Word? Right? Do we deal with those things on that level pertaining to all things to life? So real quick this morning, I know because of communion we got a lot of things going on, but I want to throw out this little game here. Right? Because I was going through because so many times there's things that we think that are in the Bible because Satan is very good. He tempted Eve and said, did God really say? And he causes you the question and causes you the doubt. Even the temptations of Christ, Jesus Himself, God here on earth, Satan came and tempted Him using the Word of God. But he twists it. And so in here, it behooves us, and I love that word, behooves. It's to our benefit, that's a word for the day. It's to our benefit to know it. Now, I mean, am I saying go home and memorize it all tonight? I doubt that would happen. Right? And I'm finding that the older I get, the more my rememberer doesn't work that well. And so, you know, I wish when I was younger I had learned more, stuffed more in before it all starts getting crusty in there, you know? But folks, we have the privilege of today of having it in paper form, on digital form. We are so surrounded by the Word of God that really, among any generation, we have no excuse of not seeking it out. You know, there are places around the world that they don't have a single Bible. I have a whole shelf full of Bibles, different translations, of different covers. So here's it real quick. Where is that in the Bible? Let me see. I got a few here. I won't be able to have time for all of these. I used to have a relative who used to do this, and I think my mom even quoted this. I'm not sure or not. But what's it say? Cleanliness is next to godliness. How many of you have heard this before? Like I said, I think my mom has done this, but she goes, you know, John, go clean your room. Because cleanliness is next to the godliness. Is that in the Bible? It's not. So all you slobs, you're all right. Right? No guilt here. I say I'm a collector. My wife says I'm a hoarder. You know, it's all good. But that's not in the Bible. But these are all these common things. I'm saying, oh yeah, that's in there. Let's see. I want another one here. I had a buddy of mine who used to quote this one all the time. God helps those who help themselves. Is that in the Bible? It's not. Actually, the core of it is actually anti-Bible. I'm told to serve others. Part of being a Christian is service. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Be the servant of all. Right? And in here, I don't need to watch out for number one. Or I should say, maybe, there are two ways to look at it. Either I replace number one with, not me, but the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Put God first, then watch out for number one. Or if you want to say, I'm number one, then you should become last. The first shall become last, and the last shall be first. Right? So, yeah. Once again, this is not in the Bible. How about this one? That we're all God's children. Now, I'm going to get a little sneakier on you. And can I give you a little hint? If you notice so far, the answer to all these are no. So I'm just letting you in. Right? But in here, are we all God's children? People will say this. Well, we're all God's children. No. Actually, this one I have a verse for. John 1, verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to Him He gave the right to be called the children of God, to those who believe on His name. Actually, the world, the Bible says, that you are of your father, the devil. That even though we are all created, we're all His creation, the idea of being His child denotes a relationship with Him. And we only have a relationship through Jesus Christ. How about another one? I got a few here, but I won't be able to get them all. But money is the root of all evil. Is that true? No. See, I already gave you the answer, right? No, it's not. But how many of you heard that? Money is the root of all evil. Actually, what this is a case of misquoting Scripture. Because out of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Right? It's the love of money that causes the problem. It's not money itself. And so we look at these things. I'll stop there. I have a few. But in here, it's interesting, all these things that are really easy to slip into. Oh, do I really know the Scriptures? Do I really know it? And I'm not doing this to make you feel foolish. And these are things that it's like, oh, really? You know, because you fall into hearing these routines and really without knowing and searching out the Scriptures for yourself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Just like that soldier, the last thing he puts on, he walks out and he grabs his sword, that he's equipped for battle. The last thing in our lives, we put all these things on, our faith, our salvation, God's peace, God's truth, all these things we put on to help us to stand against the devil. Folks, we will not be equipped until we handle the Word of God. And just like the soldier has to become efficient at doing it, right? You just give someone a sword and you say, hey, go out there, you're dead meat. But you practice, you rehearse, The more you use it, the better you will become. Guess what? The Word of God is the same thing. The more we are in it, the more familiar we are with it, the more we apply it to our lives, the more proficient we will become in it. In here, he talks about, look, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. We got these 4 points. I'm going to go through them pretty quick, because I know we ate into a lot of time this morning. The first one is doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. For what is true? Doctrine means truth, or what is right. Right? You want to know what the truth is? Seek out the Word. Seek out the Bible. The Bible is truth. You know, today we hear so much about, well, you have your truth and I have my truth. There is no absolute truth. We can all have our different truths. Can I tell you something? That's hogwash. That's a big theological term. Hogwash. No! Right? I remember listening to someone, and they were saying, you know, in school the math question was, 2 plus 2 equals what, and how does that make you feel? Right? Well, it doesn't matter how it makes me feel. 2 plus 2 is 4. Well, you're just narrow-minded. Right? That's your truth. No! Right? There is an absolute truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to get wound up. I'll get preaching here in a minute. But it is the truth. The Word of God stands the test of time. And man's theories have come and gone. But in here, time and time again, the Bible has proved itself to be true. Apply it to your life. Seek out the truth in the Word. Second thing we talk about here is 2 Timothy. It's for reproof. Reproof means what is false. Not only does the Bible tell me what is true, but the Bible will also tell me what is not true. What is false, or what is not right. And we see this today, that often what they want to do is cast out the Word of God, because so much of what the world is doing is not right. Sin is running rampant. People are doing what feels good to them. They're following their hearts, what is leading them to hell. And one of the first things they want to do is cast out the Word of God, because you show this and it'll tell you what is right and what is wrong. So not only does the Bible tell me what is true, but it also will show me what is not true. Thirdly, for correction. The term here that's used in the Scripture has the idea of taking something that's fallen over, or something that is crooked, and set it upright. So correction is taking something and come alongside and kind of give it that nudge to correct it along the way. Because if it's continue on, it's going to fall completely over. I bought my truck. You know, it's been 2 years ago now. I got my little Ford Ranger. I really like my truck. And on the corner of the cab, there was a rust spot. I saw that 2 years ago. I saw it when I bought it. It needed to be corrected. Well, you know what? I'm lazy. I didn't do it. Guess what's happened to that little tiny rust spot? It's bigger. And actually, I was like, oh, it's not so bad. So the other day, I started poking at it. And it just kind of like, ooh. And now I have a hole like this. I have the part. I have the sheet metal that's for it, so I'll get it fixed up. But all of a sudden, that small thing, if I would have corrected it, it would have been an easy fix. Now, because I didn't, now it amplifies and grows bigger. The Word of God, as I look at it, it corrects me. So the more I'm in it, more often, He kind of gives me these little nudges along the way. But if I wander from it, if I put it down, my tendency is to go further and further away until finally, wow, I'm way out of whack. Right? That in here, for us, as we come down through and talk about the idea of communion, I come before the Lord, Lord, correct me. Bring me back in that fellowship. Nudge me along the way. Because if not, what happens is I get further away, and then I get further away from Him. And then the correction actually hurts more. Or I get myself in a whole mess of trouble because I've gone so far off the path. But the Word of God has that effect on me. You know, I've had people leave Sunday morning and they say, "Oh, Pastor, you stepped on my toes." Right? That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit who says, "Hey, you know what?" Because it's funny. I've stood and, you know, talked to people and said, "Oh, Pastor, that was a great message on this." And someone else would say, "Oh, that was a great message on that." And I'm like, "Did you guys even listen to the same message?" Right? Or one little point, or one little story, or something impacted, right, out of the whole thing. And that's all they heard, because that was the message God had for you today. My goal is not to make anyone feel guilty. Just to give out the Word. And it will have that effect on us. And you have a choice. I can choose to heed it and change or not. Years ago, I heard an illustration which I really liked. He goes, imagine if someone comes up to you, you know, and says, "Hey, Pastor, come here, what?" He goes, "You have horrible onion breath. Oh, what did you eat?" Now, I have a choice. I can go, well, I can fix it. I can, you know, take a breath mint, chew some gum, or brush my teeth, right? I can take care of the problem. Or I can go find someone who has worse breath than me. And can you imagine that? They complain about my breath. No, I can't believe that. Yeah, right? I'll just find the stinky breath club and we'll all be fine. Well, guess what? We have these spiritual choices. When you're confronted with the Word of God, you can either change or find people who will condone it. And we see that in the world today. Last point. Last one is instructions in righteousness. And that tells me how to stay right before the fact. Can I tell you this is probably the most profitable for you? Before you jump in, start off with, okay, what does the Bible say? I have a choice to make. Well, what does the Bible say? And so all these things work together in harmony, that the Word of God is profitable for all things that pertain to life and godliness, according to 2 Peter. That in here, for doctrine, what is true, for reproof, what is false, for correction, to set me upright, and instructions of righteousness to keep me upright. That in here, the Word of God is so rich. Fall in love with it. And some, you know, over the years, I used to be a hard nose. I grew up with, you know, you only had to read the King James and you had to learn of these and thuses and all that. You know what I found over the years? You can say, you know what, I don't, there's a Bible translation, I have, you know, I don't understand this. You know what? Find one that you can. I think there are some better ones and some best ones and some not so great ones. But you know what? I heard someone say that the Bible that you'll read is the Bible that you need. Years ago, there was someone that jumped in and they got a Bible translation, which I didn't think was the best. They said it just reads in so plain. And they're like, you know what? I had a King James for 20 years and never read it because I couldn't understand it. He goes, but I've gotten this translation now and I can read it and I can understand it and I can't put it down. Let me tell you something. Which one should he have? The Bible that you'll read is the Bible that you need. And if you get to a point of studying and stuff like that, there's other things that you can look at. But folks, get in the Word. Fall in love with the Word. Be effective with the Word. Not only for defense, but also in this world that we can step out with the Word. I wish I had words to make you fall in love with it. To take it and dive into it. But folks, that's something that you have to have within yourself. Lord, help me love Your Word. Help me to seek it out. And I'll tell you, see, you know, we have the daily breads that you can take and just get into a verse a day to get into the routine. I mean, there's so many things out there today. Say, Pastor, look, I want to get more into the Word. Help me out. I will throw things. Well, I won't throw things at you. I will give you a bunch of stuff to help you. What? Wherever you're at. I mean, you can have it on your phone that comes at you every day. You can turn around and put things in, you know, hang it up, and you can all around. That, folks, we are without excuse in this generation. Lord, help me love Your Word. Help me love Your Word. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to be people of Your Word. Lord, You speak to us within it. Make it come alive in us. Lord, help us to live by it. Help us to consume it as we would food. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.